It's the economy, stupid. South Africa's economy last languished at the current sub 1% growth rates we are experiencing now in the run-up to the 1994 election. One of the questions we're asking this morning is, which political party do you think would deliver the best growth, jobs, and improve your standard of living? Where is the economy on your list of priorities? We're joined by two eminent economists. Lumkile Mondi is a senior lecturer at the University of the Witwatersrand Business School, and Dr. Azza Jamin is the director and chief economist at Econometrics to look at this issue. Let's start with you, Dr. Jamin. We last experienced this kind of low growth rates in that run-up to the 1994 election. There was enormous uncertainty about what democratic South Africa would bring. Investors were nervous. The circumstances really gave us a cocktail of woes. What explains where we are today?
Bongani, it is very easy to actually identify when South Africa started going wrong. And essentially, the country between 1994 and 2009 achieved growth rates in the region of 3 to 5% per year on a fairly consistent basis, other than a small downturn in 1999-2000. And then from the growth rate then, we had the global financial crisis. Growth rates started slowing from 2010 to 2012 slightly. But from 2013 onwards, we have seen a deliberate and almost perennial decline in growth to a rate of around 1-1.5%. It's declined below that even more recently. What happened in 2013 was that we started seeing the full effects of state capture and the manner in which the country's resources were raped by certain politicians for their own ends. And the full manifestation of that only started emerging around 2013, 2014, and we've never recovered since then.
Lumkile Mondi, let me bring you into the conversation as well. The president that's in charge now at the Union Buildings made all sorts of promises when he came to power, including, of course, reversing the effects of what we've just heard Azza Jamin describe there. But here we are. He's been 5 years now into the job. We are seeing things worse than they were before.
I think, unfortunately for him, these are the consequences of the raping of what as I was talking about, specifically repurposing all the resources for personal and private gain by black businessmen and politicians linked to the African National Congress. Therefore, really, it had very little room to maneuver given the declining public resources, but also failing and falling infrastructure. So really, I think it was just a promise, but it was going to be a very impossible job because it required him taking hard political choices where he has been dismal, because he brought in some of the people that were key in the Zondo Commission's report who were part of the proposal of state resources. So therefore, really, if it was that ambitious, got rid of them, got new people, new bums on the chairs, and really focused on reconstruction, and he didn't do that. And I doubt himself going forward is able to do that.
He might argue he was given a bad basket of goods. The Reserve Bank estimating last year that load shedding alone cut economic growth by 2 percentage points. In other words, we could have been at around 2.6% instead of the 0.6 we experienced.
Well, these are the issues that, you know, we all knew as early as 1988 that we had to take hard choices, particularly if we were going to allow more participation of the private sector in the provision of energy, and we keep on changing position throughout, even at the height of our load shedding, where to take those hard choices. You should remember that around 2015, the rollout of the REIPPPP program, which I was very involved with through the IDC then, on round one, which was extremely expensive, where the IDC de-risked a lot of those private sector projects and really brought a lot of new energy generation, which is helping us at the moment. We couldn't work without that. But in 2015, they reneged on rolling out round 3, round 4, round 5. So really, as Azhar has argued, that a lot of these are choices that have been made, which are very poor, because the very same rotten potatoes were left in the bag by Ramaphosa, and therefore they've just made the bag rotten more and more.
Azhar, I mean, we talk about hard choices, but is it fair to put that to Cyril Ramaphosa, given the political environment in which he's had to maneuver? I'll give you an example. Ideologically, the ANC is very aligned to the East, and that might be China or Russia, for example. We do a lot more trade with Western countries, the European Union, the US, even the UK. And not too long ago, there was even the possibility that our inclusion in AGOA might not be permanent. And yet he's got to straddle those ideological lines to make sure that everybody is on board. Even the reforms he has tried have not been without opposition internally.
Unfortunately, a lot of the problems that we face in that regard, in terms of the implementation of policy, is that the ANC government and the tripartite alliance, rather, one needs to incorporate the alliance partners because they're very much part of this problem, is that there is a huge ideological divide between those who believe that the solutions to our problems are to be followed by adopting market-oriented policies that get the private sector involved in trying to help the government, and those that believe that the private sector is an evil construct and that it's only the state that needs to run things completely. And Ramaphosa has been caught in the middle of this ideological divide. And at the end of the day, we have a wishy-washy kind of implementation or non-implementation of many policies, because policies are adopted and then not implemented because many of those who are given the task of implementing are ideologically opposed to these. And then you get COSATU and the SACP also running and kind of compelling the government to look eastwards rather than westwards for solutions. I'm not saying that either the west or the east is the right way to go about it, but certainly we have caused some ructions in our relations with the West, who are the principal investors in the South African economy, and that has not helped either.
Lumkile Mondi, what should voters be thinking now when it comes to the May 29 choices they may have in terms of who is best placed to fix the problems we've just discussed? What should voters be looking for in the political parties they choose to get us out of this mess?
Unfortunately, our voters remain divided because of the legacy of apartheid and economic exclusion. So there's a huge number of voters, particularly in the former TBC state and particularly also in the township, who have seen the progress in their lives. Remember that the South African government, among major markets, provide one of the best social security safety nets. I'm talking about pensioners, the child support grants, the INEFSWAS supporting the children coming from poor backgrounds, and even that 360 that we talk about during COVID that is continued. So some of the people really, even though they may be participating economically, but they've seen a huge difference in their lives in relation to the historical experiences around apartheid. There is, of course, the growing middle class, who have got also a different experience with rising costs, as you saw yesterday, that education, health, as well as housing costs have risen and interest are very, very high. So I think if we're talking about voters, we only know on the 30th, but I do still believe that despite all these failures that we've seen, that, you know, the majority of South Africans will still vote along racial patterns, and therefore it is possible that the ANC could surprise us and continue doing very well despite its dismal economic performance and unlikelihood of really changing the path of the return of South Africa.
All right, appreciate your time. Azhar Jamin, I'll let you have the last word on this. Is it the economy stupid, as they say?
Very much so. And I think unless we start introducing policies and working with the private sector to generate the higher economic growth, the unemployment problem will just become bigger and bigger, and that poses major socio-economic challenges in the country.
Appreciate your time, both. Dr. Azza Dlamini is the director and chief economist at Econometrics. The other guest, of course, is Lumkile Mondi, the economist and senior lecturer at Wits University's Business School.